JC Corcoran Podcast.
And men don't hear a word. Men do not hear a word. It's literally, the words don't go in the ear. There's an enzyme missing, and the words just keep... Right on. If you could just hear the way we hear, our ears are different. Our ears are like shortwave radios that never quite come in. Our ears are just always a thing. We catch a phrase every so often. Like, cars in the shop. New curtains. Everything to us sounds like a train going by. Just don't forget dinner Saturday night. See, that's actually the way we hear. Hey, maybe that helps knowing that, huh? Men don't hear a word women say. And if the TV is on, good luck now. I mean, you might as well be talking to someone on life support. You know. And if it's a ball game,
I'm just getting warmed up.
Happy to see you again.
Don't be nervous, don't be rocky. You're a teenage guest is jockey now.
And let me begin by wishing you a beautiful look.
Did that voice inside you say, I've heard it all before? It's like deja vu all over.
Tuesday, March 21st, 2023, only 9 days until opening day. How you doing, kids? You are at jcontheline.com. Well, it's finally gotten to me. It has finally gotten to me. I think that social media is a dead end. I'm investigating right now to see whether or not there's a way to post stuff but not have any comments underneath. And I've just reached that point, and it's a shame the baby has to be thrown out of the bathwater here, but it's just driving me nuts because people will argue with you about anything. Even people who are agreeing with you will still stick in a little dig there, like, well, that wasn't exactly right. And you're saying, well, geez, JC, such a pussy. I mean, you can't handle something like that. Oh, no, I could handle something like that. But you have to understand, I've got like 30,000 people following me on social media. And so it's not like your social media where you've got, you know, maybe 1,000 or 50 or whatever. With me, I sit there, I got to look at this stuff all day. It will ruin you as a human being. It's just to the point where it's the flat earthers. Now, you know, we should be so excited. You would think that, well, let me go back to the 1960s. A lot of us will remember where, in our case, it was the nuns who would wheel in the big TV on days where there was a space launch, you know, Alan Shepard going up into space. I remember on the John Glenn thing, we got the day off because they said, go home and watch this on TV. They gave us a day off of school because it was Alan Shepard would be the first man going to space, but he just went up and right back down. Gus Grissom was next. He went up and straight back down, but he went all the way down. And then John Glenn, he was the first one where they said, okay, you're not just going to go up and down. We're going to send you around three times, and then we're going to try to bring you down. It's not such a miracle that it occurred. It's a miracle that it occurred in like 1965. And here's an example right here. I said 65 because I just guesstimated. It might have been 65. It might have been 63. It might have been 67. I don't know. But what will happen now is people will hear this. And if it wasn't 1965, all day, I'll have to look at comments from people going, JC, how dumb are you? It wasn't 65. It was 63. This is what I'm talking about. But anyhow, going back to the thing I was telling you about, the nuns would wheel in the TV, or like I said, in some instances, we even got the day off. And the pride, that this country had. The exuberance that we sort of experienced. I mean, people putting flags out in front of their homes. You've seen those old videos of people, you know, walking through the streets of a busy downtown area in a big city where everybody's huddled in front of an appliance store where they had a TV on facing out and people were just watching it through the glass. People were so consumed by this whole thing, so excited about it. So you would think that when they put out the James Webb telescope, which they launched on, I think it was on Christmas of last year, and they said, yeah, you know, by the middle of the year, meaning like, you know, like last June or July, like somewhere in there, this thing ought to start being able to send us pictures of things we've never seen before. Literally being able to look back in time. And you think about all of the knowledge and all the science and all the expertise and all the geniuses involved and all those black ladies sitting around, you know, doing the mathematics and everything, like what was it called, the hidden voices or something, the Kevin Costner movie with the story of the Apollo space program. You know, they had these women sitting there doing mathematics just on notepads with pencils, no computers available. But the point is this, you would think that not just Americans, but people around the world would be sitting there going, what a marvelous achievement, what a great time to be alive, where we can sit here on Earth and look back in time for the first time. I mean, just think about that for a minute, be able to look back in time, not to mention all these amazing photographs, which I know that a lot of them have been surgically altered and colorized and stuff like that. But for the most part, the pictures are real. Even the Hubble, which is still getting really, really incredible pictures of Saturn and Venus and things like that. You look at these pictures and it's just, we're seeing things we've never been able to see in the history of man. And I don't buy into this business about, oh, this money could be better used. First of all, you know, even if they didn't have a NASA space program, the money wouldn't go to hunger and stuff like that. It would go into some politician's pocket. So that's bullshit anyhow. So I don't buy that. But the larger issue is, if you told Lewis and Clark you know, back in their day, and you're saying, yeah, you guys are wasting your time, you know, but you show me a civilization where the population of that civilization has stopped exploring, and I'll show you a dead society, a dead civilization. Man has to keep looking. Man has to keep exploring. Man has to keep asking questions about where we came from and where we're going and all the science involved in all of that. So I am buying that at all. But you would think that, and I'll just restrict this conversation to Americans, you'd think that Americans would be so proud of this moment. Look at the technology. Yeah, you know, there's a lot of things we can't do very well anymore in this country. But here is something you can be legitimately proud of. All of the scientists, all of the astronomers, all of the scientists, all of these men and women who have made this possible for us to see images that we've never seen before, and opening up so many more questions about just things in general. But what do you have? Just walking over to urinate all over all of this joy, all this exuberance, the flat earthers. In 2023, we have, apparently, it's either a very, very small but extremely vocal group of people, or it's a bigger movement than I even thought, but it has permeated the internet now, and you can't even look at these pictures without seeing the comments from people just ridiculing people like you and me who look at this stuff and marvel, but being, well, at least they're trying to shout people like us down and make us look like we're the idiots because we believe that this is actually going on and this isn't done on somebody's laptop. You just want to sit there and go, what is wrong with people? And you wonder what else they believe. You know, a lot of times when I see somebody who make one of these, there's some guy by the name of Tobias something or other, and I think he's a used car salesman, I want to say somewhere in the state of Oklahoma. Tobias something or other. It's a name that I difficult to pronounce. And this guy, every single time social media puts out one of these amazing photographs of, you know, just say outer space, this guy just comes along and defecates all over the top of everything. And it's not just him. There's a lot of people doing this. A lot of people who believe that the Earth is flat, who believe not only that the pictures aren't real, but that we're all idiots for even entertaining the notion that this stuff could be real. And as we get more and more of these pictures, incidentally, and get more and more information about, you know, what happened and what we're experiencing, and there's some people who are saying basically that death doesn't exist. You know, it gets into real, real deep philosophical discussion. I mean, if you got a joint going, that would be a good idea, because this is stuff that will really just take the top of your head and butterfly it, because you're sitting there going, wait a minute, there may not be any death. Yeah, death might just be part of our existence. You know how a butterfly used to be a larva, and so you're looking and you're going, okay, well, that's not a butterfly, that's just a wad of something, but then out comes a butterfly. And they're basically saying that, you know, that our time on Earth as human beings with human bodies may only be part of the overall experience. When you die, you may just go on to something else. And I know this gets into really wacky stuff for a lot of people, but if you really think about it, whether you believe in God or not, because I think this cuts either way. You come to that fork in the road and you say, well, if I go this way, I can't really believe in God, but if I go in that way, it coincides with my religious beliefs. Well, in this particular case, it goes either way, and that is this. Does it really make any sense? Does it make any sense that we be put on this earth as children with basically empty hard drives? And throughout the course of our lives, our parents, obviously, first, and then educators in school, and then later on we begin coming up with our own ideas about things, and we accumulate all of this information, all of this knowledge, all of this, in some cases, scientific expertise, the arts, you know, music stuff, poetry, the ability to write in some sort of compelling fashion. And we develop all of these things, and we have this brain full of amazing information and experiences that have loaded up our heads full of life experiences. And you live to about 80 years old, and then you die, and then it all just goes away, and it's over, and that's nothing. And it's all just a big dead end that leads nowhere. Does that make any sense to anybody? It doesn't to me. It's a pretty sad fucking joke. If that's really what happens, and we just, you know, do all of this stuff for, you know, 80-odd years, whatever the case may be, and the next thing you know, you're buried 6 feet under, or you're burned up and your ashes are spread over a lake somewhere. It just doesn't make any sense. So I'm not the kind of person that is generally open to the idea of ideas that are really, really out there, sort of like what I've just said. But for some reason, I am compelled to at least accept the possibility that some of these people who are surmising on this stuff and coming up with these theories about what exactly is next? Is there anything next? I don't know. Maybe they do know something. And you start to see these things on the internet where people are drawing images of what the universe is. And it looks like a cone, nothing like you would think. And then, like I said, then it opens up the possibility to all these new ideas about what happens when this life is over. Is there another kind of life? And I'm not talking about ghosts and stuff like that. That's not what this is about. I think ghosts are just fun things that we do to entertain ourselves. We talk about the possibility of ghosts. I mean, I love the song by Genesis, Home by the Sea. It's about ghosts. And I don't believe in 99.9% of paranormal activities, but I do think stuff like that happens. Obviously, the government's having a really hard time trying to tiptoe around this whole idea of all these pilots, military guys, major airlines, pilots who've been flying for 40 years, looking out their window going, there's something flying out here next to us, and it's defying everything we know about physics. what the fuck is that out there? And, you know, in some cases, there's even videos of it. And you're like, well, either that's a laser or some sort of a reflection of a light where you could make it move really, really fast and defy the laws of physics. If you took a mirror and you went outside in the sunshine and you started using that mirror, you could make that reflection from the mirror jump all over the place really, really fast and go up into trees and then come back down to the ground and then go up in the air. You could do all of that stuff, and that is really the only way you could do something like that, unless you had like a laser pointer and you're fooling around at night. But these guys are flying, these men and women are flying airplanes, like I said, either major airlines, the military, whatever, and they're like, there it is. What is this showing up on radar? I mean, what is this thing flying next to us? And you start asking yourself the question, could it be possible? It just seems so unlikely that anybody would be interested in us. When you see the picture of the Milky Way and you're looking, you see this little grain of sand buried in these incredible images from outer space, why would anybody be interested in us? I mean, that just doesn't even make any sense. And yet, we have these inexplicable events taking place in the air. And I'm not even getting into the whole close encounters thing, you know, where people say that they've been abducted and everything like that. But I will tell you the story one more time. And for those of you who have already heard this, I apologize. But for people who are new or just forgot the story or weren't listening on that particular day, just give me the benefit of a doubt on this. So when I was a senior in college at Northern Illinois University, there was a guy by the name of Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And he was considered to be the foremost authority on UFOs in this country. He worked for the, I think, for the Defense Department in some sort of scientific capacity. Very, very well-respected guy. Looked exactly like you would think, by the way. You know, little short guy, gray hair, smoking a pipe, glasses, just looked like a real sort of a studious Poindexter type, you know. And he was getting old. And he started up, well, what happened was he was commissioned by the United States Air Force back in the 1950s, I believe it was, could have been 60s, where they said, all right, let's get a scientist, a highly respected scientist with a military background, and have him debunk all of these UFO things because they're coming in fast and furious, and we need somebody to basically explain these things to the American people and to everybody else, by the way, with a scientific explanation of what this stuff is, because it's obviously not UFOs. So Dr. Hynek, come on in here. Here's, we'll write you this check, this grant, and you study this for a couple of years and then come back to us and tell us what you found. He goes, fine, deal. And the key part of the story is that he was a UFO denier. He was one of those guys saying, yeah, I know it's all bullshit. And well, yeah, we'll do the scientific study and we'll come up with a reason for what people are thinking they see. And we'll tell everybody, yeah, but it's a load of crap. So I will investigate all this for a couple of years and then I'll come back with the explanation for all the stuff people think they're seeing. Well, a funny thing happened on the way to the universe. He ended up swaying completely in the opposite direction. Now he's sitting there going, no, this shit's real. And he issued his report, and I don't think the government was too happy about it, because he was like, no, this stuff is really occurring. Maybe not every single thing that people see. I mean, for Christ's sakes, you had the conflation of, Jupiter and Saturn for the last couple of weeks, and people are calling 911 thinking it's a UFO. It's like, no, it's two planets that are really close to one another. Can you get your head around that? So anyhow, Dr. J. Allen Hynek comes along and he's like, no, this stuff really, really happened. And as a matter of fact, he opens up this thing called the Center for UFO Studies, which was the top floor of his home in Evanston, Illinois. And NBC, I still remember, did the UFO special and he was part of it. And like I said, when I was a senior in college, I was doing this independent study program and basically was doing documentaries. And I said, I want to do this guy. And they said, okay, if he'll agree to it, go ahead. So I called him up. Secretary said, when would you like to do it? Fine. I get on a Greyhound bus from DeKalb, Illinois, and I take it into Evanston and I come walking in. And there's Dr. J. Allen Hynek. And I had recognized him from TV and we had a wonderful talk. And I did a great interview with him. It was fantastic. I aced it, by the way, my independent study on the documentary. Unfortunately, the tape was lost in a flood. It was destroyed because it would still play today. I'm being honest with you. It would still play really well today. And he said something, and again, this would have been 1974. And he said something that has stayed with me since that day. And this was a long lead up, I will admit, a long lead up to the money shot here, but this is what it all comes down to. He said that you could tell from even things like blood pressure when these people were being interviewed who had close encounters of the third kind. They could tell, but even medically speaking, there was something physiologically going on in the bodies and the minds of these people who claimed to have had these encounters. And people are like, well, what the fuck is going on? Martians are not walking around here on Earth. So what are we seeing here? Even the doctors were like, what are we seeing here? And Hynek said this, if you go to the Australian Aborigines communities, these places where people are still living in the dirt like it's the 12th century, and they have absolutely no exposure to the outside world, they have no technology, they are completely cut off from what the world is and has been for a couple of centuries. These people are living in the dark ages. Now imagine trying to explain to those people, you know, again, completely void of any technological expertise, trying to explain to them that as we sit here right now, you and me, there are television pictures passing through the room. All of these images, all of the sound, all this RF, radio frequency. But there are pictures actually in the air right now, videos, but we can't see them unless we have a receiver, a television set. So again, all these pictures, all this video, all this stuff is floating around in the room you're sitting in right now, but you don't see it, you don't hear it, because you don't have a TV on. What if what people are experiencing is a dimension that we haven't discovered yet, whereby somehow that part of your brain that is not able to process that dimension right now at this stage of our societal development, but somehow this ability of our brain to perceive that dimension is somehow activated. And all of a sudden, you're seeing things and you're experiencing things that you've not been able to see or experience before because that part of your brain that was able to pick this stuff up, if you will, just wasn't activated. So the hell with the Australian Aborigines. How about us sitting here right now? Even that, just trying to get your head around that idea that these images are floating around all over the room right now, but you don't see them or you don't hear them because you don't have the receptacle, if you will, like an antenna in your brain that is able to pick this stuff up. So these experiences that people say they're having are very, very real. You know, everyone wants to go up to the Center of UFO Studies and just read cases. And after about an hour, you get really bored because they're all the same. The cases are all the same. I was walking along and all of a sudden this thing approached me and blah, blah, blah. And this is why religion bugs me with regard to all of this, because while modern man is trying to come up with explanations for stuff like this, religion is basically trying to take you back to the third century and apply thinking that was prevalent at that time and trying to apply it to the 21st century. It just doesn't work. And then you find stuff out like this. Do you know what a ginkgo tree is? You know, it's been around for a long time. Well, it turns out maybe a little longer than we even thought. The ginkgo is the oldest surviving tree species, having remained on the planet for 200 million years. That was even before the dinosaurs. I don't even know what to say after hearing something like that. Something on the planet right now that was here 200 million years ago before the dinosaurs. Okay, my head is spinning a little bit. Maybe yours is too. Maybe you should come back to Earth with something nice and stupid. Adam Sandler received the Mark Twain Prize for American Humor on Sunday night. Speakers included Conan O'Brien, Ben Stiller, John Apatow, Steve Buscemi, Jennifer Aniston, Drew Barrymore, David Spade, Pete Davidson, Dana Carvey, Chris Rock, and Rob Schneider. It's going to air Sunday night on CNN. You know, normally it airs on PBS, but this is the first year that PBS didn't want it, and they gave it to CNN. Is it because it's Adam Sandler? Are they turning their noses up on Adam Sandler? I mean, I can understand it, but it's still not right. And I'll tell you this about Adam Sandler. He says he makes movies that entertain his friends. He says, if I think it's funny, my friends think it's funny, we put it in the movie. And that's great, but then you're making home movies. And I can tell you, there's no question that Adam Sandler has talent and ability that I think might really come out someday. Now, he's been in some dramas that have actually been pretty darn good, and he can really do it. He just prefers to be a bonehead. He's also a very, very nice guy. There are people who will tell you in Hollywood that Adam Sandler, one of the nicest people they have ever met. And I would agree with that, too. He's the nicest guy ever. I've had the pleasure of interviewing him 3 or 4 times in person. Really, really nice guy. And while, you know, the dumb movies that he makes are really, really dumb, you know, if you really think about it for a minute, the movies all have heart. And maybe all of this, you know, we've just been talking about here for the last 2 minutes about Adam Sandler, funnels down into something that I'll play for you right now that you may have forgotten about. This was the last and final week of Late Night with David Letterman. So they're having all of these people who, in a lot of ways, made their mark being on Late Night with David Letterman and would tell anybody that a lot of the success that they've had in their lives and their careers was responsible for things that they did on Letterman's show that made them extraordinarily popular. So here it is, the final week of Dave, and Adam Sandler comes out on stage.
Now listen, this is fantastic. I was told, and I hope this is correct, that you have a special presentation.
Of course, I've been trying to write this song for you for the last... I'll go sing it for you.
All right.
I hate going over there. But I love you. I hate leaving the couch, but I'm going to go do it.
God bless you.
Okay,
Adam Sandler, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay. All right, I swear to you, I'm a little emotional. I'm going to try not to get too... Here we go. Oh, boy, here we go. There simply is no better man than good old David Letterman. And no one gets Julia Roberts' face redder than a flirty David Letterman. He's leaving after 30 years, and you know he will be missed. If you like gap-toothed men in double-breasted suits, he's number one on your top 10 list. He won't have to pick up the phone anymore when Les Moonves calls him up. He'll finally have time to take Jay Leno out for coffee, then secretly pee in his cup. There simply is no better man than good old David Letterman. And no one makes my mother wetter than... David Letterman. Okay, Mom, I told him. I hope you're happy.
Oh,
sorry.
No.
Okay.
What's going on here?
Take that. Seems like yesterday when I was 14 and you looked like a freshman at Ball State. Now your hairpiece is full of gray and I'm 48. I can't believe at night when we're watching Stephen Colbert, you'll be tucked in bed under the sheets. Pets with stupid trips will have no place to go, while Paul Schaefer and the band sell crack on the streets.
Just no truer has ever been spoken.
That's, okay. There simply is no better man than our hero, David Letterman. I can't thank you enough for all you've done, and I'm sure I ain't the only one, 'cause you pay. You kisses. No more interviewing Heidi Klum or Cheryl Teagues. Now you're and on TV.
Adam Sandler, everybody. Look at there.